Angela Yee and Charlamagne the God.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
The voice of the culture.
People watch The Breakfast Club for, like, news and really be tuned in.
It's one of my favorite shows to do just because y'all always keep it 100, y'all keep it real.
They might not watch the news, but they're on Twitter. They're on Facebook. They're, you know, they're listening to The Breakfast Club.
Get your ass up.
Hey, good morning, Charlamagne.
Good morning, Angela Yee. It's Tuesday!
2 days from our Change for Change Radiothon that's happening.
Absolutely. Now, listen, everybody yesterday was posting a... reposting the GQ cover with Colin Kaepernick on the front. You know what I'm saying? Salute to Colin Kaepernick. If you don't bring your ass in, drop on the Clues Bombs for Colin Kaepernick, Jesus Christ. Now, if you really love Colin Kaepernick the way you say you love Colin Kaepernick, then you will support this Change for Change movement. If you don't know what this Change for Change movement is, on Thursday we're having a radiothon for how many hours? 18. 6 a.m.
to midnight.
And we are raising money for the Gathering for Justice organization, which is a fiscal sponsor for the Women's March. So that's Linda Sarsour, Tamika Mallory, Carmen Perez, the Know Your Rights Camp, which is Colin Kaepernick, and the Justice League NYC, which is founded by Carmen Perez. So... yes.
All right.
Support that. And you can actually donate now. Give them the information, Envy.
You can text CHANGE to 52182, or you can go to bcchangeforchange.com. That's CHANGE, the number 4, CHANGE.com.
Why everybody looks so discombobulated this morning? What's wrong?
You know what?
I lost my key.
I lost my key, so I couldn't get in the building, so I was stuck downstairs, and I thought maybe I left my key up here.
Oh.
But anyway, okay. You know what? Shout out to my daughter. Last night, had an amazing time. She turned 16 years old. I surprised her at her school with... Chick-fil-A, because that's what she loves. So I made sure she got Chick-fil-A.
There you go. Keep her humble.
And then we went on a helicopter ride through.
And then keep her not humble.
Yeah, we went on a helicopter ride. The helicopter left maybe 2 minutes from the crib, and we flew all over the city. So we flew over Madison Square Garden. We flew over the World Trade, the Empire State, Central Park. We landed in the city. Then we went to her favorite restaurant in the city. And then we flew back home.
What's her favorite restaurant in the city?
She loves Mr. Chow's.
Okay.
Oh, Mr. Chow's.
As soon as I say keep it humble with the Chick-fil-A.
And the helicopter ride.
You go up into Annie with helicopter rides and Mr. Chow.
Yeah, it was a great experience. We had a great time. You know, this is the first time I've ever been on a helicopter. I've never been on a helicopter in my life. I was actually scared of helicopters.
So you're out here skydiving and doing all of this, but never been on a helicopter.
I've never been on a helicopter, but
what's so scary about a helicopter? You've been in a plane before.
It's kind of open.
It's open. It feels like it's not stable. It goes side.
Well, it's shaky.
Propellers.
Well, next time you're on a plane, open the window and look out then.
If you think
that's scary.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to die. But, you know, it was actually a smooth ride. It was real smooth. It was real cool. There wasn't no problems. It was a good experience. So.
Well, I've never been on a helicopter. You just had a helicopter in your video.
I just went up and down. I didn't really cruise. That was, you know, just
boy,
up,
y'all getting some
down,
money.
You know, just, you know, taping. But
Mr.
this was,
Chow's,
like, really
helicopter
going far.
Rides.
We went over Newark Airport so you could see the planes going. And
video.
It was crazy. It was a great experience. Anyway, now Gary Vee will be joining us.
Talking about money. And you know I'm going to press my guy Gary Vee to donate for this Change for Change thing, okay?
He got it.
He
definitely got it.
That's my guy. That's one of my favorite. That is my favorite corporate thug motivator, Gary Vaynerchuk.
Definitely. So we'll kick it with Gary Vee next hour. And we got front page news. What are we talking about, Yee?
Yes, we are going to be talking about Alzheimer's. We'll tell you who is donating to join the fight against Alzheimer's. Also, imagine you were at a party in college. And the party was so crazy, the floor gave out.
I seen that. That's crazy. Somebody's going to get a lot of bread. Did anybody die? Please say no.
I'll tell you from Pay Zeus.
All right. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Now, the Panthers beat the Dolphins last night in Monday Night Football, 45-21.
Why you sound so excited? You still watching football?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay.
And one thing I don't understand, right? I was watching the Knicks game, right? They were up 20 in the fourth quarter. And then they lost by 3, and I couldn't figure out what happened.
The Cleveland Cavaliers came back. LeBron James happened. Y'all let LeBron James disrespect y'all and ride all on y'all subways yesterday. You know what I'm saying? Trying to act fake humble and freaking came at a 23-point lead and then let him come back and bust y'all ass.
We were up 20 with 4. I was like, oh, that's a damn. I said Cleveland Cavaliers
suck. So you turned the TV off or something?
I fell asleep. I passed right out. And then I woke up this morning, and they lost. Geesh. All right, now what are we talking about, Yee?
Let's talk about Alzheimer's. Bill Gates is personally investing $50 million to help fund research to find a treatment for Alzheimer's disease.
He got it.
Right, he definitely has it, but it has affected members of his own family. So he said it's a terrible disease that devastates both those who have it and their loved ones. I don't know if you guys have ever had to deal with somebody with Alzheimer's, but it's a really difficult...
Of course.
I'm dealing with somebody right now. Gia's mother actually has
right.
it, and she doesn't remember anything, and it's very difficult. And but, you know, we
have to constantly make sure you watch them, see what's going on. They can't, like, if they leave the house, sometimes they wander off.
No, a couple of times where, I mean, she scared the ish out of the house, mm-hmm. where she walked out the door, and then all the alarms go off, so we think it's a burglar coming in the house. So I'm looking at the cameras, and everybody's running back and forth, and she just opened the door, wandering outside. So, yeah, you got to be extra, extra careful with it.
Well, Alzheimer's is said to be the sixth leading cause of death in the United States, affecting more than 5 million Americans. And they say that number is expected to go as high as 16 million by 2050. All right.
That's crazy.
Now let's talk about this college party. This was at University of North Texas. It was a homecoming game weekend. They won.
It looked lit, though. That party did look lit.
Right. So over 100 people. Now, the person who lived downstairs, and imagine if you lived downstairs. It was a sophomore named Carly Carroll. She said every weekend there was a different party. And during some of those parties, she could see her ceiling go up and down like a trampoline. Sometimes she even called the police to complain because she thought the ceiling would collapse. And finally, the ceiling did collapse. Police said that there were about 100 people crammed into that third-story apartment above her that night. And the DJ even said as he carried his equipment in, he said the floor was sinking beneath him. He
crazy.
Said, this doesn't feel right. And the junior, Abiola Basuri, had thrown the party, admitted to reporters
She's
things had gotten
on.
Out of
That's
hand.
Crazy.
People he didn't know, he said, were showing up. I could feel the floor starting to shake. I yelled, yo, people need to leave. But nobody would leave. Everybody was jumping up and down, and that's when the floor gave in.
What school was that?
This was the University of North Texas.
Drop on a clues bomb for the University of North Texas, goddamn.
Wait, not yet. Don't drop a bomb yet. Did anybody die?
No.
Okay.
Man,
now,
listen,
now
that's a party. You hear me? They're going to remember that for the rest of their life, okay? People going to be trying to reenact that in videos.
No, they ain't
going to
try to. Oh, yeah, in videos, yeah.
Drop on a clues bomb for them, boy. All right? Y'all did that.
But
all right?
Yeah.
Going into the holiday season. Okay, y'all got something to talk about for the rest of y'all lives.
Sheesh. Nearly 50 students are homeless now after that.
And hey, it was worth it.
I got to give you guys an update on Roy Moore, the U.S. Senate candidate from Alabama. Now, people are saying that he would regularly hang out at an Alabama shopping mall flirting with teenage girls and much younger women. They said he would go and flirt with all the young girls. Nobody could believe that they hadn't come out yet. They said he would actually go to high school football games, go to the mall, all of those things.
I heard he was signing yearbooks, too.
Young girls.
No, I'm dead serious. I already signed one of the victims' yearbooks.
That's crazy.
All right, well, that's your front page
news. Committed. Very committed to pedophilia he is.
All right.
Disgusting.
All right, well, that's front page news. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us up right now. Maybe you had a bad night and you want to just vent, or maybe you want to spread some positivity. Maybe you had a great time. Maybe it was your birthday or your daughter's birthday and you had a wonderful experience and you just want to spread some positivity. Hit us up right now. 800-585-1051. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Let's go. This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're man or black.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So if you got something on your mind, let it out.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, yo, man, this is Brandon from the Bronx.
Hey, Brandon, get it off your chest, bro.
Listen, man, I want to talk to Charlamagne for a quick minute.
What's up, my brother? What's happening?
Man, it was going on, brother. You made yourself donkey of the day the other day, man, by talking about rape culture and all that. I had this lady... I called her a queen. I said, how you doing, queen? She said I was misogynistic and I was participating in rape culture because I didn't ask her permission to call her queen.
Well, that's just
Please
reaching.
Clarify.
Yeah, that's just bull,
yeah, that's
girl.
What I'm saying, man. Where do we draw the line at, brother? I mean, grabbing somebody in public is one thing, but then, you know, saying queen or how you doing, good morning, what's going on here?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the fact far. That you know that says a lot. You know what I'm saying? You know that if you grab somebody in public, that's sexual assault. But if you just say hello to somebody and they get upset, that's just
that's
them reaching.
Them. Yeah, absolutely.
I thought when people say queen, that's very respectful.
I thought so, too. Hello, who's this?
Good morning. This is Elle from the Bronx.
Elle, get it off your chest, mama.
All right, I'm mad and blessed. I'm blessed because I have a great husband who's climbing the corporate ladder, and he's very emotionally there for me, and I love him, and I want to give him a shout-out. And I'm mad because as Massachusetts, as a state, I hate them. I just moved out here from New York, and let me tell you something. These drivers, the way they talk, the way they act, like, I might catch a case. Charlamagne, you going to bail me out? You
nope.
got it.
I'm not going to bail you out if you catch a case for something silly, but I will tell you, root for the Patriots and Celtics. Huh?
You my Beyonce, you can't bail me out?
Oh, I'm your Beyonce?
Oh, now.
Is this my
That's
boo
different.
That told me she my Beyonce? If I'm your Beyonce, I got you, boo. All right?
You my Beyonce. I love you.
Now, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be honest with you. I ain't going to lie to you. I'm your Beyonce. So if you ask me to bail you out, I'm just going to say no, 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 no. Okay?
That was Destiny's Child, you ass. Hello, who's this?
Destiny's Child is Beyonce.
It's not the same.
Shut up.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, tell us why you mad, bro.
I'm mad because I had some extra Jay-Z tickets for the Miami show. I gave them to my ex-wife to take my son. And I was able to get somebody to work for me. I go to the show to spend time with my son, and her jerk boyfriend is there. So
she
I
took her boyfriend?
Instead of your son?
Oh, nah, my son was there, but her boyfriend was there too, and I don't like him.
So what's the problem?
Oh, there ain't no problem then. I thought she just took the boyfriend and not your son.
Yeah, but I don't like him. So I had to, you know, I got into a woman, I had to slap him.
Did you feel dumb? You feel dumb when Jay-Z started doing songs off 444?
A little bit.
Yep, because you done lost a good thing.
Yeah.
You win Eric Benet.
Nah, I ain't going that far.
You sure?
I'm positive.
Okay.
All right, have a blessed day, sir.
All right, man.
Did he press charges, though?
Did he call you Bay?
Nah, he called somebody Bay. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us up right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Pick up the mother phone and die.
This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So you better have the same energy.
Yeah. Hello, who's this?
It's Cody Cabral. What's up, man?
Cody Cablow. All right.
That's a nice porn name, a nice gay porn name. Cody Can Blow.
Cody Cabral, man. Not Cody Can Blow.
Oh, Cabral. I thought you said Cody Can Blow.
I thought you said Cabral, Cody Can
Blow. Portuguese, man.
All right, Cody. Go ahead. Get it off your chest.
We had a good time this weekend, man. We had our son's first birthday party. We did the Paw Patrol.
Dope.
So they had the live costume dogs come in and stuff like that. All the kids had a blast, so it was a good time.
That sounds beautiful.
That's dope.
Yeah, that's for sure.
You just called up here to shout out Paw Patrol.
Cody Jr.
That's all.
Cody
did.
Jr.'s first birthday.
There, right.
Okay. Paw Patrol.
Got you.
Thank you, bro.
It was your son's first birthday. There you go.
That's cute.
A grown ass man at Paw Patrol.
Hello, who's this?
This is Mike.
Mike, get it off your chest. Mike, why you sound so depressed, bro?
Man, it's just been a rough couple months. That's all, Envy, man. That's all.
What's the matter, bro?
Basically, you know what I'm saying? I'm a victim of being, I'm a convicted felon, you know? So when you come back out here, when you come from being incarcerated and you try to rehabilitate yourself back to society rejects you in every which way that, like, it's a real struggle, man, trying to stay on your feet.
And where you from and what did you do, bro?
Well, it was drug-related. Nobody got killed. It wasn't no pedophile stuff, none of that crazy stuff, you know. It was just drug-related. And, you know, they gave me over 10 years. I did over 10 years.
Wow.
You know, I've been home for 6 years, no problems, you know. But getting jobs and doing everything in the world as we know it today, it's hard, man. And it seems to have got harder in time, even with politically and just about every which way you could think of, man. So I just kind of like want to put it out there, man, that whole correctional system, it's not a rehabilitation center. There's nothing really positive going on once you become a victim of the system, man. So I just kind of want to like get it off my chest, man, let everybody know.
Yeah, that's why that's why they need to make the prison system. They need to bring back the gyms in the prison system. They need to teach inmates a trade. They need to let y'all get y'all degrees in jail,
they
like
have,
something.
They,
so when y'all hit society, y'all are productive citizens. Y'all can be productive citizens.
Charlamagne, they have that type of stuff in them, man. But they're not really respecting that type of stuff out here. That's what y'all don't know.
Mm.
You know, like while I was in there, I got certificates. I got a certificate being electrician, residential. You know, I tried to get my CDL. I got a certificate on how to read blueprints, you know, for construction. But when you get out here, they're not respecting those type of like certificates and whatever you're trying to push at them. Like, it doesn't work like that out here. You know, it's all about if you know somebody, and then once you do know that somebody, once they get a little whiff of, you know, you are ex-con, it's a done deal, man.
And where you from?
Done deal. You can't even. For Lauderdale.
Well, yeah. My brother, keep working,
yeah,
man.
Keep pushing, brother.
No doubt, man. No doubt. I listen to y'all every morning, and my friendly advice to the Breakfast Club, man, I feel like y'all will get further if y'all stay together, man. Y'all got something special together.
We've been together seven years. You just got up.
Thank you for that advice.
Thank you for that, man.
I think we pretty much stuck like Chuck at this point.
Oh, my goodness. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, you can hit us at any time. Yee, we got rumors on the way?
Yes, find out who is about to be Tyrese's new attorney. Also, we know your Knicks lost last night. We'll tell you what the Cavs did before the game.
All right, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Listen up.
This just in.
All the
gossip.
The rumor report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's the rumor report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, the Cleveland Cavaliers rode the subway in New York City. They were about to play the Knicks. We know how that turned out. But why were these guys on the subway? They actually recorded everything, and people recorded them as well. And for LeBron, this was his first time on the train. Here's what he said.
On our way back from shoot around, decided to take a different transportation this time. Where we at, Kyle?
We're on the train. We had two options. 45-minute bus ride.
45-minute bus ride. Or a 6-minute train ride.
That's what I'm talking about.
We decided to hop on the train with the squad. Hey Channing, what's up? I don't know this dude right here. He's tripping.
I'm glad you enjoyed the train ride, LeBron James.
But that makes sense. I'd rather go 6 minutes on the train. Now, you know, Envy.
Yeah, you'll take a train in a minute.
You know I'll take the train in a heartbeat. It's so much faster.
But isn't that such a liability for a multi-million-dollar team to get on a train in New York City?
Why?
What do you mean, why? All kind of stuff can happen on the train.
Everybody takes the train in New York.
All kind of stuff can happen on that bus.
Well, I'd rather it happen on the bus than on the train. At least I know the bus is insured. Okay.
It's because Charlamagne doesn't take the train. I take the train all the time.
And no, I don't take the train. And neither does LeBron, by the way.
Well,
LeBron said that was the second time he took the train in his life.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Is a 5-6 minute train ride as opposed to 45 minutes?
I don't do the train either, unless I have to. And I'm like you. I'm nervous.
I'll be on the train today right after work. Going to where I got to go is going to take 10 minutes as opposed to an hour. And I won't have to pay $70 for parking.
And I'm going to tell you what else. I got into a dumb argument with our cameraman, Steve, who happens to be a white man. Started arguing with me this morning about who's more famous, LeBron James or Keanu Reeves. I don't even know why we started talking about Keanu Reeves.
I don't know why.
I don't know.
But I'm going to finish my rumor report, okay? All right.
Who do you think is more famous, LeBron or Keanu Reeves?
LeBron.
I know.
All right, now Tyrese is planning to represent himself in court. Apparently,
goodness gracious.
His lawyer, Terry Levitch Ross, is no longer representing him because he filed for a substitution of attorney. Now, by the way, Tyrese is due in court today. So he previously was on his Facebook Live, and he had this to say about just black men and going to court and everything.
This is my silent protest for all of the fathers that are in jail. Just sitting in a fucking cage.
He's crying again?
Fucking rotting. You got pictures of your kids up on the wall.
This is not
old. You didn't do nothing. And there's some other man around your kids right now that's raising your kids in a way that you would never raise them. But you're not there and you can't do shit.
Could somebody please teach Tyrese the definition of silent?
Well, this is from a couple of days ago, but this is just him. He's wearing, he says, Chucks to court because he wants to represent and do a silent protest for all the other
men. That ain't nothing silent about Tyrese.
What?
He's loud.
Good shoes.
This is not the same crying as before. This is a new one?
This is from a couple of days ago.
I missed this one.
Yeah.
So listen, here's the thing, right? Didn't they say that Tyrese had two chances to be with his daughter?
Yes, so they're investigating. Now, that investigation into allegations of child abuse has been dropped, but he's also accused of having skipped court-approved visits with his daughter. So we'll see what happens in court today.
So what's all this crying about then? Like, you're saying you can't see it, but they allowed you two chances to see it and you didn't go see it. What's the issue?
I don't know. But let's talk about kids. Joe Jackson gave his grandson Blanket a very happy birthday wish. He went and shared a video on his Twitter account. It's a little confusing, but here is what Joe Jackson had to say. And mind you, he's 89 years old, okay? So his son, his grandson Blanket is now 15.
Now I understand why your father had you wear masks all the time, because news people was bothering you so much and so and try to disguise you as much as possible. But I know what you mean, man. But I want you to stay healthy and stay off those bikes too, you know. But anyway, tell all your brothers I said hello and stay clean and healthy. And see a lot of movies if you can. Good movies, of course. And be like me. Be tough, though. Be tough in a good way. And above all, I love you all. You take care, man.
All right. That was his very happy birthday. He told him
to put a comma after every word.
He said, I understand why your father had you wear masks all the time because people was bothering him so much.
I understand why your father had made you wear masks all the time because you're ugly.
He didn't say that. All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right. Now, when we come back, Gary V will be joining us. You need some positive motivation. You want to learn how to make some money? Well, keep it locked. And
money.
Gary V will let you know. All right, keep it locked. This is The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Morning, everybody.
It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Got a special guest in the building.
My favorite corporate thug motivator is back,
Gary V.
Guys, thank you for having me again. I'm humbled.
Yes. Thank you for coming.
Today's your,
well,
tomorrow's your born day.
Today is my birthday.
Today's your born day, yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes, happy
yeah.
born day,
Jackie Robinson.
Wow. How you feeling,
yeah,
man?
I feel 24.
Wow. That's good. You got Word. The new K-Swiss sneakers, too.
Can you believe that entrepreneurs now have sneakers?
Mm,
look at this. Am I
is that money green?
Let me see the signature.
This is New York Jets green.
Oh, okay.
You know me.
New York Jets green.
My first book was green. This was, everything's green. Yeah, man, it's super crazy. I can't believe, you know, growing up in the 80s and, like, growing up through the Jordan stuff, I wore, by the way, I've never wore a pair of Jordans in my life.
Really?
Because I'm a real Knicks fan.
Okay.
And real Knicks fans don't wear Jordans.
So what did you wear?
So, Emma,
Ewings. Those Adidas, baby.
Those hurt your
so,
feet,
Emma, you're
man.
Not a real
those
Knicks fan.
Those did hurt my feet.
Ewings hurt your feet.
Those
they,
did.
I wore them, too, but they hurt my feet,
They
too.
Hurt my feet, but I've never in my life worn a pair of Jordans. As a
really?
Matter of fact, I came home a couple weeks ago, and... You know, my wife buys like 47 pairs of shoes from Zappos and then picks one and sends them back.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they do.
Right.
Anyway, I walked in. I saw a Jordan box. Lost my mind.
Even to this day, you hold grudges, Gary?
Oh, this is amazing. Great. Get ready. wait till you hear what I did. Grabbed it, walked outside, like right outside my door is the chute for the garbage, and threw it out.
Why would you do that?
You didn't even try to resell
Guys,
it?
I hate Michael Jordan so much.
Even now?
Even right yes now.
Goodness gracious, Gary.
You know, I'd have a ring. I'd have a ring if it wasn't for that man.
Yeah.
What if Michael Jordan asked you to do a Jordan with him? You wouldn't have done it?
No, I really, I mean this. I would not do it. Tom Brady and Jordan are the two guys that I'm just not willing to f*** with.
I love it.
Goodness gracious.
I like, that's integrity, man.
Right.
It's sports muscles, right? Like, you're pumped, right? Like, I don't get it. Like, you can't, like, if you're 40 and older and you're a diehard Knicks fan and you're rocking Jordans, I'm confused.
Oh,
well, Envy's
man.
Not a diehard fan.
Oh, my goodness. Jordan's on right now.
I'm a diehard
But Envy's the same
fan.
Guy.
No, you're not.
If the Giants are winning, he'll wear the Giants. If the Jets are winning, he'll wear the Jets.
True.
He talk about, is this
Emmy?
All New York?
I'm
he refs
Giants
New York.
Fan.
Okay,
I'm
respect,
a Giants fan.
Respect.
But if the Giants lose and the Jets win, I'm a New York and I want the Jets to win.
I understand
that's
that.
That's it is. That's
I,
what it
on
is.
The other hand, am not because I root for the inferior New York team. You can't do that when you're a Jets fan. Giants have won 4 rings.
Right.
You know, when you've won 4, like, that's the way I'm with the Mets. I'm a Yankee fan.
Mm-hmm.
I like for the Mets to do well because I've won my championships.
Correct.
Right? But when you're still struggling to get yours, like the Jets fans are, I've got no love
Would
for the
Would you
blue.
Do business with Michael Jordan? You're an entrepreneur.
Absolutely not.
What? Not
I'll
even
you,
business?
I'll tell you
what
why.
What is wrong with you?
I'm emotional in one place. When it comes to business, unemotional. When I read all the comments, you know, on social, I suck, I'm the worst. I love that. Feeds me. But I'm unemotional when it comes to business, which is why I'm successful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm absolutely emotional when it comes to sports.
What if it was for charity, Gary V? What if it was for charity? And Michael Jordan said,
I would say,
change for change.
Is there any way you get Oakley to be the face of this? I'll give the money.
Oh
I just want Oak. Can you make Oak? You know, this is the other like secret thing. A lot of Knicks fans don't know how close Oakley and Jordan are.
Oh yeah, best friends.
Best.
They used to play together. Oakley's
yeah,
on board.
He did.
Gamble together.
Speaking of giving money,
they really
you know,
do gamble together.
Yeah.
Andrew's dropping the real.
We're doing this thing on Thursday.
Okay,
it's
I'm
called
in.
Breakfast Club Change for Change.
I'm in.
We're donating money to the Gathering for Justice organization, and they're the fiscal sponsors of Colin Kaepernick's Know Your Rights camp.
Love it.
The Women's March and the Justice League NYC.
Huge.
So donate what you can, Gary.
I will. I will.
You can? Text change.
I will.
Text change.
To 52182.
There you go.
Is there something I could do a little bit more? Can we do something crazy like this? Can we do
Talk
a campaign on Twitter right now where if somebody uses a hashtag, one of you guys make it up right now?
Change for change.
Fine. But add GV, right? Change for change GV.
Change put my initial. Change GV.
Use this hashtag. I will pick one person.
Mm-hmm.
I will pick one person and I will give them an hour of my own one-on-one business consulting time if they donate to this.
Nice package.
Okay, that'll work.
So they have to add you also.
We still need you to spend some of your money, too.
I don't know.
No,
let's rewind the tape. Let's rewind the tape. I already committed to that.
Got you. True.
He's giving a little extra.
He's giving a little extra.
So that somebody else who donates is going to end up getting...
Notice the cynicism from my man. He went right in. He's like, no. I'm like, no. I was like,
that's great, but...
Before I get off on this session... I want to, again, I did it last time, I'm going to do it again because I just get so many emails. I was reading them last night.
Mm-hmm.
The 2017 flip challenge that you created mm-hmm. by putting pressure on me here the first time I was here, it's been unbelievable, man.
Unbelievable?
I'm going to do actually, I need to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
We need to do a 2018. Unbelievable. People are making money.
No, they are. You know what my son
people
is doing now?
People are making now?
Money. Right. I wanted to thank you, too. My son now is into Supreme and Bathing Ape. And what he's
Ape,
doing is
baby.
He's buying these t-shirts, yep. sweatshirts, yep. hats. And whatever he came from Supreme.
And I'm flipping.
And I'm getting these packages in the mail, but he's not wearing them. He's flipping them in school. So he's buying, let's say, a sweatshirt for $100 and selling it in school for $300. And this kid is actually...
These kids have $300
at school? Got $300?
These kids are
that's
buying
a, them. That's
a nice neighborhood.
They got $300 to pay for Jordans.
What do you think, Envy? Envy's in a nice neighborhood now.
$300 to pay for Jordans. They got $400.
Don't get confused. Any of that.
Don't get confused.
He's doubling and tripling his money. I'm so
you
proud
You want to tell him a good hot tip?
Let's go ahead.
The Gary B. K. Swiss is going to be a real... Honestly, I've been thinking about buying them all myself and reflipping them on eBay because
I see
all the dealers already like hovering and I'm like, wait a minute, we didn't make that many. I think he's going to make a little
how
bit of coin in it. 10,000.
And how can people get them?
KSwiss.com.
KSwiss.com is only
online.
No, they're in Shoe Palace and a bunch of other retailers, but I don't know the full distribution, so I don't want to confuse people. And knowing everybody listens to this show, that's going to be the spot to get them.
You said something earlier that was interesting. You said you're 42, but you feel 24. Like, I don't feel like there's... I feel like I know more now than I did back then. Like,
you
I don't
better.
Think I would want to be 24. I even feel like I got more energy and everything. I feel like I'm in the best shape of my life, mentally, physically, everything.
I think that's a modern thing, right? Like, mm-hmm. I think 40... When I was growing up, 42 was finished.
Mm-hmm.
42-year-old was old, right?
Yeah,
like, when you look at... Like, when
take
I go
coffee.
And by the way, that's the whole thing with, like, sneakers and streetwear. And, like, our culture right now is so crazy. I think it's because a lot of us grew up in the 80s, 90s. This is mm-hmm. when I talk about hip-hop being the seed mm-hmm. that rules the world.
Mm-hmm.
White kids, black kids, Asian, like, there's something super interesting. When you look at a 45-year-old female or male business person today, they look young.
Right.
Yeah,
they
yeah,
act
yeah.
young. Listen, none of us want to get older. And I think the generation above us dealt with it better. They're like, I'm getting older, you know? We're, like, trying to hold on.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with you. There's a total different mindset. There's a completely different air to the whole thing. And that's why I want, you know, it's funny. I speak to a lot of kids on Instagram every day. I made a video the other day with Babin for 60-year-olds. I'm like, you're going to live for another 30 years. You know, I know feel like you're finished and you had your career, but if you want to, listen, if you're 63 and live in Miami, you can make a bot and buy Supreme and flip stuff.
Right, absolutely.
It's not just a kid game anymore. Technology has made us all much younger
because
there's so much access. I agree with you. And people are in better shape. 40-year-olds didn't take care of themselves 20 years ago.
You're right.
Now we're all in the gym. We're all look what Andrew's doing here, drinking some green juice.
Every day.
Like, you know, like it's just different.
All right, we got more with Gary V. When we come back, don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Gary V is in the building. Yee.
So, Gary V, I got to ask you, what do you think about the connection between finances and mental health?
Finances and mental health.
Mm-hmm.
So, go ahead. I want to make sure I understand.
Basically, Tyrese went broke and went crazy. Is
what
well,
I wasn't saying that. But what I'm saying is a lot of people, their mental health also is really directly tied into their financial situation.
And I'm pretty interested that you just brought this up. So, you know, again, always trying to bring value on this show.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to make money in the next decade and you are interested in, you know, what Supreme and Adidas did,
mm-hmm.
if you're interested in what SoulCycle did, if you're interested in health and fitness, the next trend is meditation. If you want to get real smart, so back to, hey, give us a practical piece of advice.
Mm-hmm.
If you're intrigued by mental health, I'm super intrigued by this issue.
Mm-hmm.
So I think mental health needs to be the number one thing we talk about over the next 20 years, because I think it's like alcoholism and drug abuse. We don't talk about it properly. People are sick.
Right.
Mm. And they're becoming homeless and drug addicts and getting and being broke. Mental health is something we need to put on a pedestal and really start talking about. I think the clean version of that, the less I'm sick, the more I want to be better, is meditation.
Mm-hmm.
So for people that are more fortunate and don't have mental health issues, I think meditation is a huge, huge opportunity for people. Meditation is a huge opportunity. Everybody's going to be doing it. To answer your question directly, of course I believe like there's a direct correlation.
Mm-hmm.
If your operating system isn't right, if your brain's not right, nothing else is gonna work. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's something we need to diagnose earlier, start understanding as a society how to deal with it, get rid of the stigma, and really start chipping away at it.
With Trump in office, they're saying that we should be expecting a recession in the next year or so.
I think it's the other way around. I think that there would have been a recession but this guy is not going to let it happen on his watch. He'll mortgage the next 50 generations to make sure the economy is good during his watch. I've changed my business behavior because he won, because I did think like, wait a minute, we've had 9 good years. whether you like them or hate them, and I'm not, people are, you know how I'm emotional about sports? Mm-hmm. Politics takes it to a whole nother level. People are just on tilt right now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So just business talk, no shot. I'd be flabbergasted if the next 3 years aren't good economy. He's just, that's his full identity. It's all mm-hmm. he's got.
Yeah, and
he's
how not, to make money.
He'll
yeah.
do whatever, you know, he'll cut
taxes for the rich.
Yeah. Our great-great-grandkids are still going to be paying off the debt. He right. will not let it happen
because
on his
he went
watch.
Even on the short gotcha. Term, as long uh-huh. as while he's got in it. Office, it
so
looks
if you're
like
thinking about like if people,
good.
Correct. Mm-hmm. If people are planning out there from a macro, listen, from a super macro, regardless of who's the president, regardless of anything, you can't be factoring that in. It's on you.
Mm-hmm.
The quicker you just, whether it's true or not, the quicker your head's at, it's on me, I'm going to do it regardless, the more you're going to win. But I think the economy will be good the next 3 years.
I want to talk to you about some of your Gary V-isms because, you know, I follow you on Instagram, so I get them all. You say 99% of the things around us don't matter.
I just think people focus on dumb shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like Karen's ruining me, or my great-grandfather was an alcoholic. Like, just things that I understand.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like, day in and day out, we're getting caught up, and we're going on defense. And I think it's all offense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the reason I'm obsessed with optimism, the reason I love being jamming with you and, like, being on this show, like, there's an optimistic undertone that you guys do that is so real and so important. And, I think people absolutely focus on dumb stuff 99% of the time. Like, I didn't get the raise, or, like my favorite show got canceled. Like, people complain about crazy stuff.
No, I agree with you. I think people fall back on a lot of the things that happened in the past so much, they forget about the future.
I mean, let me tell you something. People use things like that as excuses not to work.
I agree.
At the end of the day, it's become a binary game for me. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. You know, this is the good thing about getting old. Now that I'm 42, I'm like, oh, okay, wait a minute. People don't want to work.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't want to work, you start coming up with stuff of why you're suppressed or why it's bad or Karen is ruined. Like, you just mix
who is
them
Karen?
Up.
Yeah, who's Karen?
I had this one meet. The reason I keep bringing it up is
Karen Civil has the Swiss sneakers.
No. She does. She's the best. No. Literally, an employee sat in my room once 2 years ago and said, Karen's ruining me. And I'm like, ruining you? It was like that Chris Rock. Is that the Chris Rock joke? There's a joke about this. Like, I don't know. She's like, she's ruining me. I'm like, ruining what? Well, she's talking shit and it's ruining. I'm like, we don't make decisions based on, like, you're not getting not promoted because Karen said you're not getting promoted because you suck. If you think I'm running a business here based on Karen saying something about you, I'm like, you're not getting promoted because you're not good at your job.
Well, the truth is, pessimism never won any battle. Pessimism doesn't win any wars whatsoever.
And what I don't understand is everybody who's putting out hate and negativity online, you're always going to be historically incorrect. You're always going to get clowned on in history. And what they don't understand is your grandkids are going to look at your Instagram posts.
Mm-hmm.
Your grandkids are going to see what you said on Facebook, and we're documenting our journeys, all of us, and you're going to have to answer for that. And a lot of people are not going to like what they have to talk about in 2029.
Right. I also feel like with kids, they do have to, in school now, because we didn't grow up with social media. And that is something that in schools, they have to educate kids more on how to properly use Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, because that's not something that we ever had to deal with. Like, we didn't
you're
have to
saying
worry
that
about,
you did a bunch of dumb shit when you were a kid and you're
but
glad
it was
it's
a
not
documentary.
Exactly. I get it. But the other thing is, we're also there's a counter move to that, Angie, which is we're also empathetic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, we'll see a 15-year-old do something ridiculous, but there is a gear in us saying we did ridiculous stuff at 15 too. On the flip side, back to what we started this with, and there's just a lot of that energy when I'm on this show, there's a lot of things these kids are doing on social media that we could have never imagined.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm watching these kids flip back to sneakers and Supreme gear and all this stuff. I was at ComplexCon. These kids are making money.
Yeah.
And, like, it's exciting. They're learning how to do it. Like, the stuff you've done in Detroit, imagine if you started learning those skills at 13.
Right. Now I wish.
And not even that. These kids are making millions being internet sensations. Not just selling things, just doing things.
Having
and,
a YouTube channel.
Yeah, making money off these YouTube channels.
Yeah, but they do dumb shit. And it goes back to what you said. People are focused on dumb shit. That's why nobody can pay attention to the entrepreneurs that are actually using the internet for good.
The thing that's happening more than anything is there's Sunday morning envy. Everybody wakes up on Sunday morning and looks at their feed and everybody did cool stuff on Saturday, and people don't realize everybody's just a PR agent for themselves.
Word.
Right? They're not seeing the behind the scenes tough right. stuff, right? Everybody's seeing the riches. Everybody's looking at the kids flashing tons of $100 bills and all the cars and everything, but they don't realize a lot of those people that got there put in work for 3, 4, 7, 9, 12 years to get to that
moment. Word.
That's what you. That's how you say, like, everyone wants to hang at the finish line without running the race.
100%, man. Listen, if you don't love what you do, if you're a business person, if you started a juice company, if you're trying to flip sneakers, and it's 100% about the money, you're gonna lose.
Mm.
If you don't love your process, if you don't love eating the along the way, you got zero shots to hit that huge level. If you don't like taking 1,000 free throws, if you don't like being in the office until midnight, if you don't like waiting in line for 6 hours in the cold to get that thing, you're finished.
All right, we got more with Gary Vee. When we come back, keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Gary Vee is in the building. Charlamagne?
Now, explain this line. Yes. If you think someone is winning and it's coming out of your pocket, you suck. Explain it.
Yep. So I posted that the other day because I, again, what basically everything you see for me on Instagram is a reaction to all the comments I get.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm confused that people think if somebody else is shining, that's coming out of them. There's unlimited resources.
Right.
There's unlimited resources. Like, I get that you don't think that, and that's fine. If that's how you see it, you're not going to win anyway. Let me level you up. Mm-hmm. There's unlimited resources. And so for me, in unlike sports where I'll hate on a Jordan already because I'm sad,
right.
In real life, you've got to understand you should be applauding the people that are winning, because if you do, you're putting in the right energy into the universe. That
Absolutely.
Karma will come through. If you're spending all your time upset that this guy broke through and you think that was your spot,
right.
You're finished, man.
Absolutely.
You're finished.
Yeah.
And so I see a lot of it. I see a lot of people like, oh, he got lucky. She got lucky. If you're spitting the word luck out of your mouth, you're just not in the right place.
Every spiritual zen-like person I talk to or read their stuff, they always say, if you ever feel like you're in a position where you're not doing what you want to do, then celebrate somebody else.
That's a really interesting insight, man. Listen, honestly, like, winners win.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I don't like it, the Patriots are going to do their thing because they've got winners up and down the organization. Winners win.
Mm-hmm.
You can't stop them.
Now, what about your new book?
Yes, comes out in January.
Crushing it.
The update to the book that put me on, Crush It. It's an update on how I think a lot of people listening right now, even while they've got to do their practical job to pay their rent and dues, and like all of us, from 6 p.m. to 2 in the morning, the fact that a lot of people, for example, Anchor, it's an audio app, and people can start their podcast on it. You just record it, you press one button, and it puts you on iTunes and Spotify and everything.
Really?
Yes. The fact that there's so many people listening here that know about sports, that know about finance, that know about hip hop, the fact that they can start their own podcast, the fact, you know, I'm thinking, like, the fact that when you're commuting home or when you get home at night, right, that you can record a podcast, and then a year later, by putting out a podcast and putting out pictures on Instagram, that you can make $10,000 in sponsor fee from the sodas that ship you cases to a sneaker brand.
That's my soda out there.
Respect. I see it, and I love that stuff. Like, I just think that people don't realize how much they can build right now.
Mm-hmm.
So Crushing It is the update on the blueprint of how to build a personal brand.
You just put everybody on with Anchor, though, because you know how many people come to me and be like, yo, how do I get my podcast on iTunes? How do I get it on SoundCloud? Boom, that's a one-stop shop.
Anchor did it right, man. They were watching. They were paying attention. They have a smart entrepreneur, and he's like, listen, the way Anchor works is so crazy. You literally put the phone to your ear, you start recording, you're done. Once you set up the Spotify, you're just done. And so, like, no excuses.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's got a cell phone. You know how powerful that is? Everybody listening right now has the power of a media company in their hand. And that, to me, is game-changing. Crushing It is the step-by-step guide. And there's 11 stories of people that read Crush It 9 years ago and went on to build huge companies.
Great testimonials.
Uh-huh. And real detail, right? Mm-hmm. Because I want to inspire people. Listen, it's a two-part strategy for me. I want the legacy of being the open-sourced entrepreneur. What I mean by that is my stuff is free. And I want people emailing me every day like, you put me on. It's two things. First, it's mindset. I need people to get out of negativity and dwelling and complaining and excuses. Once you got them out of that place, and I'm trying to, you see what I'm doing. I'm trying to suffocate people.
Right.
I'm trying to choke people out with this bullshit. Then you got to give them details. if you want a real strategy of winning, if you want to get real deep in a place that is a little more dark and nobody wants to talk about, you need to cut out the negative people out of your life. And the problem is, a lot of times that's your mom.
No, that's real.
Right.
Not, I mean, you don't just mean like your mom in general, but just anybody that's close to you.
I do mean anybody in general, but guess what? Your mom has huge impact. If your mom's been telling you you suck and you're never going to make it and you're going to end up just like us, you're not going to win. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to cut out your mom. It's not like you need to never talk to her again. But for a lot of people, so I get this email a lot, I give this advice, and it's sometimes your best friend, a lot of people's best friend. A lot of best friends out there right now dragging you down because they know they're going nowhere, and they just want you.
Now, you said don't train for skill, train for mindset. And you say the skill is a commodity, the mindset is everything. Those are two of your quotes I put together.
Everybody says, well, Gary, how do I do it? I'm like, go to Google. Mm-hmm. How do I get Instagram influencers to use me? You go to Google and you type in, how do I get Instagram influencers to use me? You go, how do I start a Shopify store to sell t-shirts, right? Everybody listens. So many people want to sell t-shirts, right? Good. Go set up a Shopify store. It costs nothing, right? Mm-hmm. People ask, how do I do that? I'm like, go to Google.
Right.
How do I? We have Google. You don't have to go to some bullshit library. You have Google, right? So the skills, how do I upload something? How do I mix a track? How do I make a GIF? How do I make a pre-roll? All of it is free information on Google.com. So I've realized, wait a minute, it's not that stuff, it's mindset. I'm not gonna teach you how to do the thing step by step. That's on YouTube on a video that you can watch four times and then you figure it out.
Word.
It's the thing we've talked about the whole time, which is if you are not in the optimism offense business, you're not coming out the gate, man. You're not coming out the gate. Like, I get it, and the world's pressure and friends around, everything we talked about, politics, the friends around you, you got to tune it all out.
And you always say you're not lost in life, you're just early in the process. I love that because I tell kids that all the time.
That was a big
one, man. I love that.
Listen, everybody, if you're under 30, you got your whole life ahead of you. Once you're 27 deciding you didn't make it because you saw some 22-year-old that did make it, you're just early. I didn't make anything until, like, 34 is when I started my thing.
Word.
34. Mm-hmm. 34 is when things started happening. I built my dad's business. I left that business. I owned nothing. I love when people are like, don't listen to Gary Vee. His dad put... I built my dad's business for him. I left at 34, had no net worth, nothing. No bank would have done anything with me. I didn't make a lot of money because we were building the business, pouring it back in the business. By the way, everybody who's got a little bit of a business going on, this is advice for your son. Mm-hmm. You don't take that money and buy dumb shit, put it back in the business. That's how you buy real stuff. Right. You know, everybody gets a little coin, gets a little, you know. Right. Anyway, nonetheless, yeah, man, life is long. Could you have ever imagined feeling this young at 38?
I go back to
You were 17, when you were 22,
no.
Did you?
But 40 at 17,
it's weird.
Old.
Like, it's
old.
Like,
there's no way you would, right?
But I don't know what feeling old means.
No. What I'm saying is, did you think at 17 that you would have this much swag, this much energy, this much hunger at 38?
No way.
You were already in, like,
right. No,
that's right.
I didn't.
Because we were there. That's what I'm trying to get these 23-year-olds. They want it so bad. You know why they want it? They're insecure. They want success because they want to prove to their dad that the dad was wrong and they are good. They want to prove it to the girl. They want to prove it to their buddies that, yeah, you got better grades and went to a better college than me, but I'm hustling here and I made it. So they're taking shortcuts. What they don't realize is it's going to feel twice as good at 30 because that means people slept on you longer.
Absolutely.
People clowned on me. When I was 29, here was the narrative on Gary Vee. Oh, he works for his dad's liquor store in New Jersey. Because we grew up in the college era, mm-hmm. where the college you went to was how good you were. There was none of this entrepreneurship.
Right.
So I was in my dad's, like, there was no internet. People didn't know what I was up to. People didn't know I was already building a big business. It was, you know, and all my friends went to, a bunch of my friends went to Wall Street, made a couple hundred thousand real quick, bought a BMW. I wasn't buying anything fancy. I still don't have anything fancy, right? Now they're starting to figure out, though. And so, like, it's a marathon.
Yeah,
and everybody's
absolutely.
Trying to get, like, a picture with, like, some new Louis Vuittons on so, like, everybody thinks that they've done good.
Mm-hmm.
That.
There you go. Now, when are these performance sneakers dropping, man?
Today.
Oh.
Today.
Wow. On your birthday.
On your birthday.
On my birthday.
All right. So, well, get them right now, kswiss.com. Mm-hmm. And we appreciate you for joining us as
usual. I love
usual.
You guys. I hope you have a great holiday.
All right. Well, Gary Vee, ladies and
my
gentlemen.
My guy.
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God, we are the Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Meek Millie.
This is the Rumor Report with Angela Yee.
Rumor has it.
On the Breakfast
Breakfast Club.
So listen up.
Well, yesterday was the rally for Meek Mill. As we told you previously, the district attorney and Meek Mill's probation officer had asked for no jail time. In addition, Michael Rubin, who's co-owner of the 76ers in Philly, and he's a Philly native as well, wrote a letter condemning the 2 to 4 year sentence that the judge handed down. He said, "I understand that he's been on your probation for many years, and the entire time that I have known him, during those years, you have had to punish him, challenge him, excoriate him, encourage him, and inspire him. You have watched over him. I can say without hesitation, he's on the verge of becoming an outstanding citizen during his time with you. He has been a good son, a good father, and a loyal friend. I have personally witnessed him engage in quiet acts of charity and uncommon decency to those less fortunate than him." Well, it turns out now the FBI has launched a probe into that judge.
That judge gonna be in big doo-doo.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. The feds have an interest in the judge and her potential relationships. This investigation is looking into a possible extortionate demand. Undercover agents have been in the courtroom monitoring the Meek proceedings since April of 2016. Now, they also said that Charlie Mack is somehow involved in this. The source said that Charlie Mack had previously told Meek he knows the judge and could help him with his case. And they're also alleging that the judge
explain
wanted
to people who Charlie Mack is, because I'm sure they have no clue.
Charlie Mack is from Philly. He's produced movies.
OG Philly guy, one of Will Smith's best friends, produced movies. I think he used to manage Meek back in the day. He's the man in Philly. He's a person to know.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, Charlie Mack says he doesn't even know the judge. He said, "I spent more time talking to you than I ever talked to the judge," according to the source. "There's no conspiracy. Meek is an old friend of 30-plus years." But there's all kinds of allegations against this judge. The judge wanted Meek to drop his management at Roc Nation and sign on, according to this source, with Charlie
Mack.
Can
they prove all of that stuff, though?
And they said in front of Nicki Minaj, they said that the judge wanted him to do the Unbended Knee song over an ass in front of Nicki. So I don't know if
so they're
going
to call Nicki
her
to testify.
Is Nicki going to go testify?
Hey, this is my thing, too. All of those people that are showing up for Meek now, why y'all ain't show up on the day he was sentenced? That's when you needed the Philadelphia co-owner.
I don't think anybody anticipated he was going to get sentenced.
All his friends were there.
No. I'm talking about those people like the Philadelphia co-owner and Jay-Z and all of those guys. If he was facing 2.5 to 4, which he clearly was, his lawyer should have known that and had some of that prepared for that day when he went in.
I guess with the district attorney and his own probation officer recommending no jail time, they didn't anticipate the judge.
I wouldn't have slept on that, especially if you knew that judge was corrupt for that long.
Would do that. All right, now let's talk about XXXTentacion. He is saying that he got jumped in L.A. outside of his hotel by the Migos. Here's what he had to say.
I got jumped in L.A. by some ass. Oh, and the up fire on me, my girl, and my point blank, period. So if you see anything, just know they had fire and they pulled a gun on me, my. It's so funny because this is really super, super. Like, I'm talking about, I looked this in his face. He did a full roundabout and then split my dog because he was scared to fight me one on one. He's scared to fight me. Y'all like 35. Quavo, Offset. What's it called? Liftoff. Migos, straight up.
One thing about the Migos, they be dressed nice, but they always down for the kerfuffle.
They about their business there. They
are always down for a kerfuffle.
They want the smoke.
You ain't got to worry about that.
Yeah,
all right?
Absolutely.
Quavo, Offset, and Takeoff is always down for a kerfuffle.
Well, is he going to go to the police? He says he's not, but he does plan to get paid. Check it out.
Might as well go to the police.
If y'all think I'm not going to take y'all money, y'all stupid as y'all is getting sued. I ain't going to go to the police, but I'm going to sue the out y'all boys. I'm going to get all that QC label money.
This is what all these young dudes come
on,
man.
Oh, boy.
You say you're not going to the police, but you're all over Instagram telling what happened anyway.
Well, yes.
So you might as well go to the police. That's a statement.
I guess he was trying to get ahead of it, too, because he wanted you to hear it from him first. That
right.
He got jumped by the Migos.
See, the whole thing is, well, first of all, I hate when people act tough on Twitter and say they're so tough, and then when they get into altercation, they say they're going to sue. No, you can't sue. This is part of the, if you want to be tough and you want to be street, this is what you got to do. See, me, I'm not tough. I'm not street.
You didn't have to tell us.
Poke me right now. I'm going to human resources and poke me.
Envy, what does this have to do with you?
First of all, give me my playbook back, okay? Because I've been told you.
I'm the same way.
I wish your nigga would.
All right, well.
I can't wait to call a white man on your ass.
He also, XXXTentacion, also posted a picture of Cardi B and said, "Just letting you know right now, bae, I don't got no pressure with you. I bump Bodak Orange when I shower. I love you."
Okay.
I think the song is called Bodak a little bit. Anyway, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
Me neither.
All I know is the Migos are always down for a kerfuffle, and I still don't know who it's whatever his name is. What's his name?
Extension.
I have no idea what's going on. He has no eyebrows.
I thought he quit rap. Didn't he say he was quitting?
Yeah, he said he's not making any
opportunity,
music.
Opportunity, man. I don't think that we should clown. Eyebrows. We clown women who don't have eyebrows, but we let this guy live.
He got eyebrows. Where do you see he got no eyebrows? Show the picture again, Revolt TV. Please. All right, maybe not. That's it. He got
that's
eyebrows.
An old picture, dumbass. Go look on the Instagram video. He ain't got no goddamn eyebrows. I ain't blind. That make always trying to make Uncle Charlotte feel like he a damn fool.
What
I know what I saw yesterday, and I ain't seen
this.
No damn eyebrows.
I'm looking. Well, Charlamagne, why you? Who you giving your donkey to? I look for
we
eyebrows.
We need Peter Vesey to come to the front of the congregation. We'd like to have a word with him, telling me that man got eyebrows, and I know I got eyes, and see. I ain't seen no damn eyebrows.
Look, this is 13
had,
hours ago.
That
that's
man
eyebrows.
Face
look at the
bald.
Video.
That's eyebrows.
That man face bald, man.
He tripped. Oh no, he blinded him.
Man, he ain't got no goddamn eyebrows.
He got eyebrows.
He shaved them off.
He blinded them. All right.
Blinded.
Donkey today
so
up next.
So you mean dyed them.
That's what I meant. They're blonde now.
Lord have mercy.
You know what I meant.
Oh, my God.
You said he ain't got no eyebrows. He
I like
got
that.
Eyebrows.
Hey, I blinded my hair.
There you go.
I'm gonna start saying that.
Donkey today up next is the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
I was born a donkey.
It's the donkey of the day.
That's pretty
funny.
Charlamagne
the devil?
Possibly. The Breakfast Club.
Why'd you wait till then to do that?
Woo! I was thirsty. Donkey of the Day for Tuesday, November 14th goes to OG sports journalist Peter Vesey. Now, Vesey is 74 years old. He's been around for a long time, okay? You may remember him from being a TV analyst for TBS and NBC, and I believe he's an analyst now for NBA TV, but I think at the current moment he writes an NBA column for the NY Post, okay? Now, listen, the Knicks are kind of back. All right, just kind of. They are 7-6 this year. Mm-hmm. All right, they have a legit superstar in Kristaps Porzingis. And in typical New York City fan fashion, the fans are overhyped. Oh, my God. Every Knicks fan I know, from Michael Rappaport to Thesis Merrill to my man Kaz to Andrew Schultz to Loopy Blogger, you can't tell them nothing. This is Michael Rappaport yesterday on Instagram talking about LeBron James riding the subway.
Yo, LeBron James is one of the corniest motherfuckers ever. Top five dead or alive. My man, you're on the motherfucking subway. Hold your head, Duke. You ain't at Disneyland. This ain't the motherfucking little teacup ride. Hold your fucking head, cornball.
Oh, motherfucker. Don't be putting that camera in his face, man. Because you don't corny motherfucker taking videos like he's in Egypt at King Tut's tomb, motherfucker. You better get the fuck off this train before you get robbed, clown. Get the fuck out of here.
Joe's pizza on me for the first New York Knick that knocks this motherfucker on his ass tonight.
Get off this train before you get robbed, clown. Drop on the clues bombs from Michael Rappaport, keeping it old school New York.
The train is not okay. That bad.
But this is how overhyped New York Knicks fans get. Michael said, free Joe's pizza to whatever Knick knocks LeBron James on his ass tonight. Well, I guess you owe, what's how you pronounce his name? Enes?
Enes
Kanter. I guess you owe him some free pizza because he didn't knock LeBron on his ass, but he showed LeBron he ain't no punk because early in the first quarter, LeBron James got tangled up with point guard Frank, last name I can't pronounce. How you pronounce his name?
He's from France.
Okay. Enes Kanter ran up all in LeBron's grill. And Michael Rappaport did play-by-play on that situation. If you're watching Revolt, you can see it. But let's hear what Michael Rappaport had to say.
Want to do, Bron? Let's go. Let's motherfucking go. Let's fucking go. Let's get it, motherfucking. Let's fucking go. Let's fucking do it. Let's fucking do it right here, ass. You want to flip water bottles? I'll break your fucking head. Let's flip water bottles. Now you're crying to the ref. Let's fucking go, you sucker, you. This is New York. Let's Let's go, Michael Rappaport.
Nobody on this planet is more aggressive, more passionate, more hype, and more delusional about a basketball team than New York Knicks fans. Okay, Michael Rappaport had Diddy and Big's victory instrumental playing for a 60-second play-by-play Instagram clip. Drop one of Clues Bombs for Michael Rappaport.
Yes.
Jesus Christ. Now, another reason I played Michael Rappaport just now, because that was perfect execution of hip-hop slang from a white person. Okay, nothing wrong with words like corny, nothing wrong with hold your head, Duke. All of that is perfect hip-hop vernacular coming from a white guy. Calling someone a penis sucker, that's not a race thing, okay? All right, but Michael LeBron is definitely never taking a picture with your kids ever again now, okay? Go read Michael Rapaport's book. This book has balls. He really don't like LeBron because LeBron didn't take a pic with his kids, and trust me, that would never happen ever again. Okay? He called the man a penis sucker, but that's a wrap. But back to today's donkey of the day, Peter Vesey. Now, Peter is 74 years old, born in New York, Queens, I believe. So he's an old-school New York guy to the core. Well, he, too, got excited by Inez Kanter not backing down from LeBron James, so he decided to send out a tweet. And his tweet read like this, okay? Everybody paying attention?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Kanter is going to be intimidated by LeBron, guy who stood up to Tayyip Erdogan. Imagine him being scared of an N-word who breathes the same air as me. Now, listen. If you grew up in this culture called hip-hop, then you recognize that as a line from the late, great, Notorious B.I.G. immediately. If you are culturally clueless, let me play it for you.
Picture me being scared of the end of that breathe the same air as me.
Now, in context, I understand why Peter Vesey would quote that line, okay? In fact, Big's N-Words Bleed is the perfect song for that moment. Why should Kanter be scared of him and, you know, be scared of LeBron when they breathe the same air? They are both human beings, so I understand why Peter Vesey would think of that song and he used it in the proper context, but no. See, here's the thing. And white people, I'm only telling you this so you can protect yourselves. There's never a reason for you to be using the N-word. Peter, especially in that moment, okay? Now, Kanter is from Turkey, but the optics of it are just what appears to be a white man and a black man facing off, and then an old 74-year-old white man tweets, imagine him being scared of an N-word who breathes the same air as him. Peter, you were born in 1943. All right, you lived through the civil rights era. You have to know the weight of the N-word, even when you are quoting the Notorious B.I.G., and especially in this climate, in this era of Trump and alt-white and white supremacy at an all-time high, you cannot just be letting tweets fly with Biggie N-word bleed lyrics. Now, I see Jay Bilas quote Young Jeezy all the time, never saw him use the N-word. I hear Michael Rapaport quote hip-hop lyrics all the time, never hear him say the N-word. Now, someone tweeted Pete and said, never thought I would cringe at someone quoting B.I.G., and Peter Vesey replied, your problem, nigga, not mine.
He didn't say that.
No, he
did say that.
But he did say, your problem, not mine. Okay? Peter Vesey, I know you're at the age in your life when you don't give a damn what comes out of your mouth, and that's fine. But you're 74. You're in the fourth quarter of your life, so I understand you don't even care at this point. Game about to be over. But to everyone who was retweeting Peter Vesey and supported him yesterday, I want you white people to know that a lot of y'all are just in the first and second quarters of your life. If you want to make it to halftime, I suggest you don't go around using the N-word in any context, okay? Or the next donkey of the day I write may be about you. Please give Peter Vesey the biggest hee-haw, please. And if you're going to use the N-word in that context, use a more friendlier song. The N-word bleed is very aggressive, okay? You can say, YG, my N-word, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's more of a term of endearment. But when you say, why would I be scared of an N-word that breathed the same air as me? Man, it's not going to come off too well, especially on Twitter.
All right.
Yeah.
Were you impressed that he knew that song?
That's what I'm thinking. He's 75 years old. There's no way that was him. That had to be his son.
I need y'all to have...
That had to be his son.
I know his son. Salute to Joseph. I think y'all need to have more faith in y'all culture and understand how big hip-hop culture is. Okay?
See, if it was Juicy, I'd be like, maybe you know that. Maybe it was One More Chance, maybe. Nah. Big Papa, maybe.
Life After Death.
That wasn't a radio song.
Life After Death is a classic album.
Niggas bleed just like us.
Regardless of the musical genre, have more respect in your culture, okay? Hip-hop has been the only thing moving out here for a long time. Okay?
All right, well, let's open up the phone lines. 800-585-1051. Can white people use the N-word in its proper context?
I mean, there is no proper context, but in this context, quoting rap lyrics.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Because I'm looking online and people are saying he didn't say the N-word. He said N asterisk.
I'm not even getting into all that stupid conversation.
So
but
let's open up the phone lines.
He was quoting Biggie in proper context.
Right.
I wouldn't recommend it for white people.
I wouldn't either.
Can they say ninja?
That still relates to a nigga. All right, 800-585-1051.
Mm-hmm.
Can white people use the N-word, I guess...
What if you're at a concert and they're singing the lyrics right next to you?
In hip-hop context, yes.
In hip-hop context.
There was a great episode of Girlfriends about this back in the day.
Because I've been there and I heard Jay-Z do Iggy's in Paris, and I was at the show and I seen
it. I was there too. Mm-hmm. I seen that.
And white people used the N-word. It felt weird. I felt awkward.
Mm.
All right.
Let's open up the phone lines. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about it when we come back. How do you feel? 800-585-1051. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Picture me being scared of the ender that breathe the same air as me.
The Breakfast Club.
DJ NV, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined us, Charlamagne gave Donkey of the Day to who?
Peter Vesey. Peter Vesey is an OG sports journalist. You know, he's been an NBA analyst for many years on television. He has a column in the New York Post. And I enjoy Peter Vesey, you know. But last night, he jumped out the window a little bit when he quoted the Notorious B.I.G. N-Words Bleed in reference to Enes Kanter running up in LeBron James' face. He said, why should Enes be scared of an N-word that breathes the same air as him? Quoting Biggie's N-Word Bleed, proper context, but he's a 74-year-old white man.
Okay, well, we're asking, can white people use the N-word in hip-hop context? See, this is my problem, right? I feel no way, but now I look at a song like Iggy's in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
Huge record. Damn near top five record, right? So, of course, it's going to be a popular record, and people are rapping the record.
Well, here's the thing about that song, N-Words in Paris. They don't say anything about being an N-Word in Paris on that song. It's not in the hook. It's nothing. That's just the name of the record.
Well, I don't think they should use the N-Word at all.
I think a better example is YG, My N-Word, My N-Word.
My N-Word, My N-Word.
You know what I'm saying?
Just be quiet during that part.
I've seen this. This was on an episode of Girlfriends before, and the white girl was in the party dancing, and she was dancing to, I think it was Jay-Z's H to the Izzo. And she said, I do this for my culture to show them what it could look like when it in the roaster. And the party just stopped. And they had this whole conversation about using rap lyrics in context. So I can kind of see both sides because it's art.
But if you sing along to Lil' Kim, right, you're going to not say the certain parts of the song.
I'm not
going to
say the part of the song
because
it don't feel comfortable to me. It don't feel comfortable to me.
I think they shouldn't feel comfortable saying
it. It don't
that.
Feel comfortable saying I used to be scared of it. Now
right.
I throw lips to
so
the...
So you're not going to say
handle
it.
It. Like a real... It has the hunter, Janet Jackman.
See, but even with Iggy's in Paris, it goes, boss so hard, mother effers want to find me. But first thing, they got to find me.
What's 50 grand to a mother effer like me? Can you please remind me?
Boss, but so they use the N-word because I know...
You didn't even say
concert.
Nothing about the N-word just now?
Huh?
Where was the N-word at just now in those bars?
First gotta find me.
Oh, shoot. See? That's how I know.
See? You just say it because you don't think about it.
But in your head, it should, as a white person, you should feel like I can't
but
even say that
N-word's
word.
But when coming up, you always look at the white person to see if they say it.
I sure do.
You know, we have Dan is a white person. That's up there.
Dan, you don't use the N-word,
Dan,
do you?
Dan, do you use the N-word?
What about
get
when
on
you
the
talk
mic,
about
Dan.
Us?
What about, no, in the what about when you're in the car by yourself?
And I know all the words?
Yes.
I absolutely do.
See?
You do? Oh, my.
That's real, though. And he don't mean nothing by it.
It doesn't feel weird. It doesn't feel... It doesn't feel weird
harder,
to you?
It's harder to not.
It's hard to edit yourself.
When I memorize the words like that, it's harder to not.
Yeah. Listen, I would say I don't think... I know white people do it in private.
Right.
I wouldn't do it in public. I definitely wouldn't tweet it. I'm sorry. We're just not there as a society yet, y'all.
You can't say ninja instead?
Why would you want to say ninja? Why
I don't
you
know, because I know white people that do that.
Why you want to say ninjas? Hello, who's this?
Good morning, this is Bianca.
Hey, Bianca, what do you think? Can white people use the N-word in hip-hop context?
I say yes and no. It's kind of double-sided because when you think about it in a broader span, music was made for people.
Right.
Hip-hop might gravitate more towards black people. Country might gravitate more towards white. But music is really made for everyone. So if you don't want something to repeat what you wrote on paper and then put on the track and then put out into the world, you shouldn't say it initially. Because it's not like you just, I only advertise my music to black, I only advertise my music to white. Because music is music, and if it touches somebody and, you know, it makes you get hyped and you feel passionate about it, you want to...
Okay, all right. You can't say that.
Yeah, I mean, it is very. It seems like hypocritical and contradictory to tell white people they can't use the word, but then put it in music that is so good,
right,
that they can't even help but repeat it.
But 800-585-1051. Can white people use the N-word in hip hop context? That's what we're asking. Call us now. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ NV, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now we're asking, can white people use the N-word in hip hop context? Now this came from Charlamagne giving who Donkey today, Charlamagne?
Peter Vesey. Peter Vesey is a TV analyst. He writes a column for the New York Post. Been around for a long time. He's 74 years old. And yesterday, he got excited. He's one of those overzealous New York Knicks fans who's just overhyped because the Knicks are one game over 500, and they got a superstar named Kristaps Porzingis. And Enes Kanter jumped in LeBron's face yesterday. So Peter Vesey decided to tweet out, picture him being scared of an N-word that breathes the same air as him, in reference to Kanter not being intimidated by LeBron James.
All right, well, let's go to the phone lines. Hello, who's this?
Hi, my name's Brittany.
Hey, Brittany, are you Caucasian?
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
Hi, Brittany.
Now, do you use the N-word at all when you're rapping songs or spitting lyrics?
I don't, honestly. It just makes me uncomfortable. And, I mean, if I'm at a concert, I went to the Bad Boy reunion show, and, I mean, there was lyrics out there like that, but I just don't feel comfortable with it, and I don't want somebody to perceive me as taking it out of context and all that. So
well,
I just
good, Brittany. I'm glad you don't feel comfortable doing
it. And honestly, I have mixed kids. My boyfriend's black, but I still don't, just because it's just not me.
Is it difficult to edit yourself at these shows?
No. Okay. Not for me.
Don't even feel comfortable coming out of her mouth no matter what.
Well, you know, when Russell Simmons was here, Russell Simmons said he doesn't mind it. He said when it comes to the hip-hop lyrics, remember he was saying he didn't mind it. Russell,
I mean, because you understand that it's being used in context, but I mean, I can still see why it would make you cringe.
It makes me cringe.
I don't like it. I don't like to see that.
Hello, who's this?
This is Ray.
You think white people can use the N-word in proper hip-hop context?
I mean, it depends on their clout, you know, like... You know, it's where they grew up, how they grew up. You know what I mean?
No.
So you saying that if a white person grew up in a hood in Brooklyn in Bed-Stuy, they could say the N-word?
Pretty much. Because, look, this is the way I see it. I'm from Yonkers. I grew up in Yonkers. I'm white. I'm Italian. And I've been into fights because of it, but...
Oh, because you use the N-word.
I have, yeah, but now I'm in a more professional career to where I've you know, it's more... You know, with the going on nowadays, like, you can't really... use it how you would as if you were still living in the hood. You know what I mean?
No. I don't.
So Charlamagne's your
Hey, I appreciate that. I mean, I know you got a couple white friends that probably use it, and you're like, hey, calm
no,
down.
No, I don't.
None of my white friends do that.
I really don't. No, my wife be honest with you.
Either. So you got no
Well, if they do, they don't do it around me.
I got plenty of white friends, but they don't use the N-word.
Nobody use the N-word.
I mean, like I said, if it's a dude living in the suburbs and he's like, you know, running around using it all crazy, yeah, smack the shit out that dude, but
you know, because you grew up in the hood.
I mean, truth be told, I don't even like to call my dudes from the hood the N-word. I like to say my brother. I like to say king. I like to say God. Like, I don't even like to say the N-word. I just feel like the N-word is a low-frequency word.
All right, what's the moral of the story?
The moral of the story is, I mean, I really agree with one of the callers who said that when you put art out into the world, art is to be mimicked, but I just don't think it's a smart thing for white people to do in this climate. We're just not there as a society. Sorry. Right. You know why?
Why?
Because there's too many of them really still treating us like d***ers with the R and not us as comrades.
All right. Well, we got rumors on the way?
Yes, let's talk about Colin Kaepernick on the cover of GQ magazine.
All right. We'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Another one. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast
Club.
Drop
one of Clues Bombs for Cardi B, too, man, on the front cover of that New York mag. They called me and asked me for a couple of... Ask me a couple of questions about that article, too.
Okay.
So I was happy to be a part of that. Salute to Cardi B.
All right, well, let's get to the rooms. Let's talk Colin Kaepernick.
It's about time.
What's going on? Yo.
Rumor report. Rumor report.
This is the Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
All right, Colin Kaepernick is on the cover of GQ magazine as Citizen of the Year.
Drop on the clues bombs for Colin Kaepernick, damn it.
Now, here's some behind the scenes. When they started discussing the GQ cover with Colin earlier this fall, they said he told us the reason he wanted to participate is he wants to reclaim the narrative of his protests, which has been hijacked by a president eager to make this moment about himself. But he also said that he intends to remain silent. Why talk now when your detractors will only twist your words and use them against you? Why speak now when silence has done so much?
I'd be wanting Colin to talk, but you know what? His actions speak louder than any of his words could.
All right. At the same time, Colin is all too aware that silence creates a vacuum and that if it doesn't get filled somehow, someone else will fill it for him. So they had a lot of conversations at GQ with Colin about the project, and they discussed the history of athletes and civil rights and all of that. So in particular, they talked about Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, and he's got a book coming out. So you'll get to hear more of his thought process, I'm sure.
All right. Carmen Perez is interviewed in this interview, and she's the executive director for the Gathering for Justice, which we are raising money for, Change for Change, mm-hmm. on Thursday with the Radiothon. And I love what she said. She said, what I always tell people is I could teach you about the law. I could teach you about the criminal justice system, but I can't teach you how to have heart. We don't need a movement full of experts. We need people who care deeply to stand up and offer what they have, because there's a role for everyone. You make music, make some for the movement. You cook, organizers need to be fed. You teach self-defense or yoga, help people heal. You're an athlete, use your platform to raise awareness.
Drop one of Clues Bombs with Carmen Perez.
Now, J. Cole was interviewed as well. He talked about meeting Colin years ago as a big 49ers fan. Mm-hmm. And he said that it wasn't just about the game, he said it was when I saw the ish he was saying in the interviews when they pressed him about it. His answer was just so clear and potent, like right on point. So we'll make sure you guys check out that interview. People were mad about it. I saw some ex-ESPN reporters and people like that just mad about him getting Citizen of the Year.
Who cares? We'll be raising money for Colin Kaepernick's Know Your Rights camp, and we'll be raising money for this Thursday. Justice League NYC and the Women's March this Thursday with the Breakfast Club Change for Change. Where this, you know, text 521-82 to donate. You
text change yes. to 521-82
to donate.
Or you can hit up the website bcchange4change.com.
And you can donate now, but the Radiothon is Thursday from 6 a.m.
All right, now Colin Kaepernick also tweeted out a message of solidarity for Meek Mill. He said, sadly, there are black folks going through the same radicalized injustices within the justice system that Meek Mill has experienced for over a decade every single day. This requires more than just gradual reform in laws. It requires a swift overhaul. All right, and happy birthday to Jimmy Kimmel. Now, they did a special birthday mean tweets where he was roasted. Kanye West even wrote a tweet that Kim Kardashian wrote, read aloud for him. Check it out.
You are a jackass sucker. Keep your mouth shut and do your little TV show or get the out of our country.
Hey, Jimmy Kimmel, if you replace his nose with a you have a dead ringer for Dumbo. You's a crazy sick
Jimmy Kimmel, open your eyes. Your eyes look like vaginas. Hashtag squinter.
At Kanye West says, Jimmy Kimmel, put yourself in my shoes. Oh no, that means you would have gotten too much good in your life.
Wow. So that was Halle Berry, Tracy Morgan, Mike Tyson, and Kim Kardashian reading Kanye's tweet for him for his birthday. All right, now back to D.L. Hughley. We talked about what he said previously. He also told another good story when he was on Lip Service, and he talked about walking into a famous comedian's room and finding this scenario.
I get this knock on my door. This cat comes. He said, man, come to my room.
Oh, no.
And I go, what's up? He goes, something's wrong. So he had this chick tied up to the bed, and she's naked, and she's unconscious.
Oh, my God.
I said, man, what happened? He said he had this cat of nine tails, which is that whip that he whipped her, and all of a sudden, she told him it was hurting and he couldn't stop. He said, I couldn't stop.
Why? He whipped her unconscious.
What comedian was it?
He wouldn't say who it was. We were trying to guess. A lot of people had the same person that they guessed. But anyway, fortunately, everything was okay. Here's how the story ended.
She woke up and she said, hey, DL. Can I have some water? And I went, oh, she all right.
Thank God.
That was the funniest.
Supposed to do?
Like, man, I'm not in it. if she wouldn't have woke up and I went right to the front desk, that killed somebody.
Jeez.
What would you do if one of your friends called you in the room and you saw that scenario?
Don't call me.
Was it sexual?
Yeah. She was tied up to the bed. That's what they did. I guess the safe word wasn't working.
Mm. Oh, okay.
So you need a safe word. Stop. All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your Rumor Report.
All right, Revolt, we'll see you guys tomorrow. Everybody else, the mix is up next. Let me know what you want to hear. At DJ Envy, it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.